Can you tell me about the first time that you met the late Samuel Beaver King?
That's the man. No, it was when I was at Capital Radio. I thought I should go and see him. He was a big figure, 1983. And, well, he had to be, you know, interviewed, and I went along, interviewed him.
He was the mayor of Southwark,
the first black mayor, as they say, of Jamaican heritage, and an outstanding one. And I think what made him, I would say, more important than any other black mayor is that he served in the war. I think that was a big thing, because Sam will always talk about the war, because nobody else was. No other black person was. I can say this, you know, without any doubt. I'm 100% sure. And because of that, he was listened to, because obviously many other people in the community didn't serve in the war. And so Sam had all the things to say. Sam had the knowledge of what happened. And he showed that, you know, black people ought to be acknowledged, especially the service men and women, for that contribution. You see?
So it was, in a way, highlighting the intersection of black history with British history, showing that black people had a strong presence and contribution to Britain.
And ought to be, you know, acknowledged and respected.
So he, as I understand it, established the first Windrush commemoration in 1988, is that right?
Now, I can sort of take you through the kind of timeline. I mean, I met up with him in 1983. I did some work for him in organizing a concert at Southwark Cathedral in 1985, and that really had a bond, that had a connection. So when he had an event in 1988 in Brixton, mainly Brixton, I would say, not just in Lambeth, but in Brixton, he was the first to have actually organized a commemorative event about the arrival of the Empire Windrush, the 40th anniversary. He had the idea. Mm. And as I said, because he had this knowledge of an experience of the war, people listened to him, black or white or Asian, you know, you had to listen to Sam. And so he got these interviews on BBC, on ITV, and that 1988 commemoration really set the ball rolling for other commemorations.
40th
anniversary, 1988. And I think I have to bring in here Sam's other work. You see, Sam began this whole thing about Windrush in 1948. That's when he began the Windrush idea, you see, because before he left for England, and I have here a book, and you can get it from, I'm sure, from Amazon, which he's very kind of... And I bought something here for you as well. What he says here is, I think it's page 92 or 90 something. He says 92 or 84. I always tend to kind of, this is like a second edition. something like, he smiled, page 92, 91. It's a particular remark I always, here we go, go. And I think, I always quote this one here. We dubbed ourselves the pioneers of the second Mayflower. That's a profound statement. At age 22, he saw himself, although he knew the other ships coming and going, really, he felt, well, you know, this is a particular ship that he and his, when he said the word we, he meant his friends from the RAF and many RAF somehow, and they were going on. They were returning to England, and I think that's a major point, because he even said that 75% of the people, you know, or the West Indians, whether they were Indo or Chinese, or going back to England, were ex-servicemen. I'm talking about hundreds, you see. So in that sense, he felt, well, you know, this is good. You know, he just wants to get his friends together. So he actually possibly took out a book, and he actually copied the names of dozens of people. I can't remember how many. He gave me a list. And therefore, he kept in touch with them, you see, after arrival. I mean, he was very well taken care of. So in that sense, he kept in touch with them. And in 1967... he began to round them up right? And he put an ad in the Gleaner to say, well, you know, anybody who's on the ship, contact me. He even had like an award. I mean, this particular advert said something like, award, you know, see Sam King. Anyway, there were some people who actually, contacted him. And that number of people were included, I mean, a selection of them, were included in a Times Magazine June 1968, commemorating the 20th anniversary of Windrush. So he was onto it, you see. And so that happened, and you can check up on the Times newspaper. I think it's the 30th of June 1968. And that has a magazine full of all kinds of interviews of men and women who came on the ship talking about their lives. And they weren't happy with things, but, you know, they were living here. That's it.
So this term, the Windrush Generation, is currently used in a wide variety of ways. And I think in the seminal book, Windrush, The Irresistible Rise of Multiracial Britain, Trevor and Mike Phillips note that within a decade of its famous voyage in 1948, the Windrush had become a symbol of post-war immigration, and that they now think of their family as being bound up in that. And there's also, of course, these sort of assertions are supported by Donald Hines, you know, his journey to an illusion.
Yes.
But what I think is really important, I want to establish here in the interview, is how do you define the Windrush generation?
Well, okay, well, it's not so much my definition. I think what it is, it's more so Sam's definition. That's the thing, you see, because he always regarded his generation as that generation, really. Because when he and I were talking, I mean, I never saw myself as a Windrush generation individual, because I wasn't in his age group and in his clique of people, you see. And he felt that his generation, because even, I don't want to cut this, but cut it and change the subject too quickly. Even Donald Hines didn't think that he was a part of that generation. Because I remember having a discussion in a group, and I mentioned about Windrush generation, and he was actually kind of offended that I mentioned it in a way in which he belonged to it. He said, well, no, I don't, you know. And he never referred to it in his book. You see, Journey into an Illusion or something like that? So in that sense, he made references to Journey to an Illusion. He made reference to Empire Windrush maybe once or twice only, you see. But he made a lot of references to ex-service men in the book, you see. So for him, in 1966, it wasn't significant. It's only now, I suppose, in 2018, the Windrush generation has become a sort of a term that people use, thinking that it's all of us, you see. But the point about that definition, it's people identifying with the spirit of Windrush, the spirit that Sam King set up and imbued, you see. And that's good, you know, I welcome that. I mean, I talk about that, you see, because that's the kind of spirit that those men had, men and women had, that everybody else who hears the story says, well, you know, I'm a part of that, you see. So that is how we need to define generation, because after all, Windrush generation is to do with the people who came on the ship. It's their generation. You know, I came on a different ship. I can't call it whatever ship that was. I can't, because I'm, you know, Windrush generation. Let's say the Ascania, you have all kinds of, in fact, there were more than 10, and this somebody doing this research for me. I'm sure you know Sharon Tomlin. She's done some research for us at the British, at the National Archives, and she discovered like 10 ships almost every year before 1948 that came. See, so there were ships coming and going. So this whole thing about our generation is really that people who didn't know at the time think, well, everybody came on that ship. And it's not, you see. So we try now to explain, well, look, wait a minute, we have to look at the roots of this whole thing and acknowledge the story, the real story. And that's the real story. And that story really has Sam King as the central part of it. And then with him and myself working from 1995-96 to now, that's the story.
So, What do you think about the way the government is framing Windrush in terms of they're saying sort of 1948 to 1973?
Good question. Mm. Now, the government in 2018 came up with the definition of Windrush generation as those who actually arrive between 1948 and 1971. That's their definition, not Sam King's. That's a big difference. So therefore, they have pushed that, and everybody feels, well, that's me then, you know. But then when you look at it practically, it's not. But that's how the government wants to define it for purposes of maybe compensation. And now what they do is in say, well, anybody coming even from Africa or India between those days can claim compensation, Windrush compensation. No problem.
So in 2018, the government announced a National Windrush Day to take place on the 22nd of June every year, paying tribute to the Windrush generation. What were your thoughts on that?
Again, the government used what we were doing for Windrush Day. That's the point. What they didn't do was say, well, let's have the Scania Day, or let's have Al-Manzoura or the Ormond, you know, or the Orbiter. No, these are all ships coming, but they jumped on our ship. That's what they did. But then, having done that, they claim it was their idea. We have it on record. We have the documentation to show that they're claiming that, for example, this year, they say it's the fifth anniversary of Windrush Day. Rubbish. We have the evidence documentary that Sam King was doing it all the time. You see? So we are hoping to destroy this mythology then around this Windrush Day by June the 22nd this year.
And the other thing that they're doing is they're seeing it as a celebration. Do you see Windrush Day as a celebration?
I'm glad you asked the question. It's not a celebration, and it is in some sense, but it's a commemoration of the arrival. That's what Sam King has always done. But it's a celebration of the individuals, of people who came on the ship, not celebrating me. That's the thing, you see. As a person involved in community activism from the late 60s, 70s and to now. So it's not celebrating me, but it is more or less saying, well, look, the people who came on the ship, and if I can identify one, and I'm sure you've been to one or two of our meetings, let's say, for example, Harold Phillips, you know, the first mentor of the Beatles was Harold Phillips. And he'd been written out of the Beatles, not now, but it was in the 1960s and 70s. He was kind of written out of the early Beatles history. Now, that is a major contribution.